As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yeah, buddy, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show-me showdown. Show me your facts, show me the law, and show me your evidence. We got breakfast on the table. All across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to our Monday, Moonday, November the 8th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday, as we always do, right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news. Lots of that today. Hard facts and workable solutions for you. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're not alone, but you are definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive talk radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the telephone call throughout the broadcast for those with unlimited long-distance access. We're in the Austin, Texas area. I believe you can still call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email. And boy, did I get a full browser over the weekend at vvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's vvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Once again, a big shout out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 1610 AM, Lompoc, California, and AM 1710. Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting. Become vocal local to your local listening audiences. Our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. Your calls are always welcome. This morning, precious metals, bull market full on. Global finance ministers reject QE2. Chicago Climate Exchange, Republican sea change. We'll talk about that. The report from Jekyll Island will go there as well. Bernanke and Geithner. Don Tutus and Dance, Dance, Dance. Goldman Sachs applauds. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go into that market report for this morning. Again, out of New York City, as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I guess it's Eastern Daylight Time this morning. Gold off $2 at $1,392.10 an ounce. And boy, if that isn't good news. Silver up 8 cents at $26.84 a troy ounce. Platinum off $14. It trades it at $1,753 an ounce. Palladium up $9 at $692 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,386.30 for a low, $1,395.20 for a high. And boy, what a high that is. Yet at $1,392.10, your gold is up $294.70 an ounce year to year for a 26.87% return on your investment in Aurum, that precious metal. The London Gold Fix this morning, the London Bullion Market Association, the AM Gold Fixing, set the price at $1,390. We're spot above that now. The SPDR gold shares over the weekend paired off 0.42 metric tons from their electronic treasure chest, claiming this morning to holding 1,291.77 metric tons, valued on State Street at $58 billion. We'll be right back. Much more to come. Stay tuned.
Coming soon to Portland, Oregon, a place that will revolutionize what independence from the grid is really all about. Introducing the latest installment to the Rose City. Welcome to the Portland Preparedness Center. From our wide selection of nitrogen-sealed buckets of food, grain mills, water filters, and storage containers, along with our specialized book selection on just about anything you might want to learn. Available online at PortlandPrepared.com. 503-252-2525. The Portland Preparedness Center.
If or when the dollar crashes, an alternate system of trade will be a necessity. FreeWorldMarket.com is your free market solution to the economic crisis. Barter with small businesses without using government money. Stretch your buying power in these hard financial times by saving up to 50% on great products and services. Keep money in your community and away from the big banks. Preserve your wealth from hyperinflation and even become a merchant and immediately begin increasing your sales. Visit FreeWorldMarket.com now.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, Moon Day, November the 8th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Just getting underway on today's two-hour broadcast. We come at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Let's go back into our market report for this morning. Again, active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time finds gold trading down $2 after its very high closing on Friday at $1,392.10 an ounce this morning. Silver trading at up 8 cents at $26.84. Platinum off $14 at $1,753, and palladium up 9 at $692. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 9 to 11,444 on Friday. The NASDAQ closed up 2 at 2,579. The S&P 500 closed up 5 at 1,226. This morning, crude oil off 21 cents at $86.64 a barrel for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude that really ought to be trading for about $10. You know, they get the stuff out of the ground for free. Anyway, the U.S. dollar index this morning, the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., we're going to pick up a little bit more on the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc. in the news articles. But this morning, the USDX up 47 basis points at 77.07. Of course, that impacts the foreign exchange rates, where we find the Canadian loonie this morning off 28 basis points at 99 cents U.S. The Mexican peso lost 17 at 8 cents U.S. The euro down 66 at $1.40. The British pound off 24 basis points at $1.62, and that Swiss franc off 16 basis points, yet still exchanges against the U.S. dollar in the foreign exchange marketplace at $1.04. The bond market this morning, the yield on the two-year treasuries, either the U.S. treasuries, the bonded indebtedness, the yield is at 0.38%. The 10-year is at 2.54 and the 30-year at 4.12. The mortgage market this morning, the 15-year fixed-rate mortgages moved down from 3.75% a month ago to 3.72%. And the 30-year moves up from 4.27 this morning to 4.30. So if you're in the market for mortgages, there you go. The prime rate this morning stands at 3.25%. And the gold-silver ratio stands at 51.85 ounces of silver will buy you 1 ounce of gold. The market report this morning, Econo Day continues. Looking at the calendar for the week, of course, Thursday is going to be a blank day on the economic calendar because it's a U.S. holiday, Veterans Day. Excuse me. Although the stocks in the future markets will stay open on Thursday, but there won't be very much reporting done on that day. Today, not much happening at all, kind of a quiet day. Tomorrow we'll see the Red Book. The wholesale trade will be out. We'll have the jobless numbers on Wednesday instead of Thursday, so we'll be looking for that. Rather busy day on Thursday, and Friday is quiet day as well. Let's go into a little bit of the news out of the Bloomberg web basket here and look at the some of the things that they're talking about. Of course, we're still not out of the woods on the foreclosures. GMAC, Ohio GMAC foreclosure case may set an anti-Wall Street precedent. This article by Michael Riley, New News. When James Renfro, well, they're just going to go in and they're going to talk all about James Renfro with his two-story fixer-upper and his blind daughter. That's the public interest side of all of this. But let's go into the details a little bit deeper here. It says Renfro's case has created a showdown between GMAC and Ohio's Attorney General Richard Cordray. Cordray has asked a Cuyahoga County Court of Common Pleas Judge Nancy Russo not to let GMAC simply submit new documents to cure defects without consequences. He's taken the same stand against Wells Fargo, which he has said it found defects in 55,000 foreclosures. Quote, "This is just the first," close quote, said Cordray, who has filed an amicus, amicus curiae or friend of the court brief in the Renfro case. The judge will consider Cordray's views today in Cleveland. Cordray will ask Russo to punish GMAC, the fourth largest U.S. mortgage lender, for its conduct, he said in an interview. The precedent, of course, that's stare decisis. We've studied that here on this broadcast. The precedent set by the case might hasten a settlement between home lenders and the attorneys general of the 50 U.S. states who are investigating allegations of fraud in foreclosure filings. Those being probed include San Francisco-based Wells Fargo, which has said it will refile foreclosure affidavits involving statements that, quote, did not strictly adhere to the required procedures, close quote. Thousands of cases and potentially thousands of cases across the U.S., judges have the power to impose, quote unquote, sanctions, penalties, fines, and even default as the banks try to submit substitute paperwork to proceed with flawed foreclosures, Cordray said. Quote, "The banks want to wish this away and pretend like it doesn't exist," he said. The underlying facts, according to Jim Olecki, the underlying facts of default in these cases are not in dispute. A spokesman for the ally said of the foreclosure of Renfro's home, "We only pursued foreclosure after all other home preservation options had been in existence." Well, there's a lot more going on in this article, rather lengthy, talks about irregularities, Russo's court, and so on and so forth. 5 months behind, just dropped down a little bit, new guidelines. Judges in Russo's jurisdiction last week drafted new guidelines for dealing with robo-signers, following similar efforts in states such as New York. Under the new rules, attorneys for lenders would have to sign an affidavit swearing that they have communicated with the representative of the party seeking foreclosure and have been informed that an official has personally reviewed the documents and records relating to this case according to a draft copy. The policy will apply to pending cases, and an affidavit will have to be signed before a judgment is entered, said Stephen Ambuka, the chief magistrate. Quote, "The hope is that will preclude any robo-signing in the future so that we don't see a repeat of this problem. Buca and other Cuyahoga County judges said they fear document foreclosure defects may give former homeowners a claim on the title that will affect future sales. The scenario fuels Judge Russo's sense of urgency to sort out the problems now, she said. Quote, if courts around the country do not handle this on an individual case basis and there are later problems with the title, the courts will have participated with the clouding of the title, Russo said. The potential for harm is so immense at so many levels. Well, the case is cited in the article. You can certainly find out more about it there. But that's good news for a woman judge. She's got courage, and I wish her the very best on this one. Google, they're still in the news. Dell likely to keep technology acquisition spree alive. You know, the big guys we've always been saying this past 10 years has been the decade of mergers and acquisitions. Well, Douglas McMillan and Aaron Riccadella, writing for Bloomberg, Google Inc. and Dell Inc. plan to push ahead with more acquisitions, helping maintain a takeover spree that's boosted the value of U.S. technology mergers to more than $60 billion this year. Google is likely to buy more companies about the size of YouTube and DoubleClick, its two largest deals, to help offer more online services. The company's head of mergers and acquisitions said in an interview last week, Dell plans takeovers in its drive to double the size of its data center business to $30 billion in sales, a company exec said. Internet and company and computer companies are increasingly relying on acquisitions to gain new technology and customers. And Amazon and others are listed in this article. Lengthy article again up on Bloomberg. You might want to check it out. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors with your calls and more. Stay tuned.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays from Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And your calls are certainly welcome, folks, at 866-841-1065. Let's go to our caller from the 417 area code and say good morning to Missouri.
Well, good morning, William. Well, I tell you what, I haven't quite figured out how to be able to call and listen, just listen to the show. But I'll tell you what, I did want to bring something up while I was on the line. I tell you, I've discovered this book by Etienne de Boete. Have you ever heard of The Politics of Obedience?
No, I haven't heard of that book or that author.
Oh, man. Well, I tell you what, I got it for free from the Mises Institute. I guess this de Boete is some philosopher back in like the 14th century or 15th century that wrote this book. Just basically outlines all the stuff that are discussed on this show every day to sure. A certain degree. It's just kind of the, why is it that we consent? Why is it that we subjugate ourselves under these things whenever we could easily voluntarily withdraw in mass? So it's
give
very
us,
interesting.
Give us the name of the title and the author one more time.
It is The Politics of Obedience.
Okay.
By Etienne de Boete. And the Boete is like bow tie.
Okay.
So.
Politics of Obedience, and that's available through the Mises Institute.
For free, yes. Right. I mean, if you have an iPod, you can get it for free, or I'm sure there's some other way to get it for free. It's an old book.
So it's an e-book download.
Well, I got it through the iPod.
Uh-huh.
Through the iTunes deal. But well, sounds, I'm trying to figure out how to listen to your show. Just through the phone. I haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, I haven't tried it either myself. I don't know how that number was. I'll have to listen to the commercial. I've got it written down on another notepad in the other room, but there is a new system. I'll try and find that during the next break and lay that out again so that we can all give it a try. But, yeah, this is new features, new stuff, new technology.
Yes.
Is this John?
Yes.
I thought so. I recognize your voice. Okay, great.
Yes.
I'll update my screen here.
Okay.
All right, John. Well, thanks for calling in this morning, giving us a heads up on that great book, and I'll be definitely looking at that myself later in the broadcast. Let's go to our next caller and bring up our Skype call. Whoops, somebody just dropped away and said goodbye-bye. So we'll go right back to our news basket. Certainly this article off of Bloomberg this morning in regards to the mergers and acquisitions is timely, but they're talking about, really – the rest of the decade, if you will. The goal for Dell, they say in June, is for computer servers, data storage, networking gear, and technology services to generate $30 billion in sales by the end of fiscal 2014. I mean, that is a lot, all right? And if you go back and look at this idea of the planetary skin and the interconnected grid all across America with all of the fusion centers and the other hubs, you can get an idea for just how vast this marketplace will actually be as the rollout of high-speed internet all across America through rural America and then all of the cities continues to expand. But it's not going to end here. It's going to go global, all right? So we're just seeing it happening here, but we can expect to see it internationally. And the big companies like Amazon and Dell and Google are all getting in line to make the most profit from that. So we'll just follow that article as it develops. It's up on Bloomberg this morning. Here's another one. Excuse me. Rather interesting. take from Goldman Sachs, they're not exactly upset with Bernanke's idea of QE. But Goldman Sachs, this article by Wes Goodman, Goldman Sachs says Bernanke engineers a substantial pickup. Goldman Sachs Group, Inc. defended the Federal Reserve Chairman Benjamin Shalom Bernanke's decision to pump money into the U.S. economy after officials in Germany, China, and Brazil criticized the plan. Of course, Barry's over in the Orient now, getting ready for the November 11th through 12th G20 summit in Seoul, Korea, and we'll see how that goes down. Things are not looking particularly rosy for Barry. He's basically just dancing and dancing along with Bernanke and Geithner. The move will spur gross domestic product, GDP growth, they say here in this article, all right, according to Jan Hatzius, the New York-based chief U.S. economist at the company. Okay, the company, Goldman Sachs. So who really cares? But anyway, because the Fed's target for overnight loans between banks is near zero, you know, the overnight interest rate, the LIBOR, London Interbank overnight rate is 0.25%. The central bank is doing the next best thing, according to Goldman, one of the 18 primary dealers that are authorized to trade directly with the central bank. So, of course, you should expect to see some kind of a cheery report coming out of Goldman. They're one of the, you know, like they say right here, the 18 primary dealers that are authorized to trade directly with the central bank. If you or I tried to go into these central banks, we'd probably find the armed guards. The widespread hostility to the Fed's action is misplaced, Hatzius wrote. Downside risks to the economic outlook have declined significantly. U.S. inflation is unlikely to become a problem for years. Well, let's see if we can pick this one up and go to a live call here. Let's see about this one. Do we have a caller on the line in Skype? Let's see. Let's go there. Nope, that one keeps dropping off. Got a Skype caller that keeps popping in and popping out, so we'll just let that go and go right back to the article. Thought that was going to happen. Anyway, so once again, continuing here, he says, Bernanke on November the 6th defended the central bank's decision last week to buy an additional $600 billion of treasuries and said he dismissed the idea that it will increase prices to higher levels than policymakers prefer. German finance minister Wolfgang Schnabel, or Schabul, said on November the 5th in Berlin that the Fed's move was, quote-unquote, get this now, clueless. You gotta love, I love that. When I read that this morning, I knew I wanted to talk about it. Clueless. That's right. Bernanke, clueless. Quote, I have rejected any notion that we are going to raise inflation to a supernormal level in order to have effects on the economy, Bernanke said in a panel discussion at a Fed conference in Jekyll Island, Georgia. All right. And we're going to go to Jekyll Island in a moment. We've got a lot of news that's been submitted over the weekend by Chris and Vicky, and I'm going to cover some of that. It's critical for us to maintain inflation at an appropriate level. Critical for us to maintain inflation at an appropriate level. Of course, not long ago, we had the article right on Bloomberg where Bernanke was trying to encourage the Edward Bernays School of Public Marketing and Propaganda to get people to think that inflation was coming right down the tracks and rush out and buy plenty, buy more, right? Well, continuing here, Schubel said the Fed's decision won't revive growth. Quote, it's our problem as well if the U.S. is no longer certain that the old recipes don't work anymore, he said. Quote, we don't have the least reason for schadenfreude. Schadenfreude. I don't know what that is. We only have reasons to be worried. Brazil's central bank president, Henrique Meirelles, said excess liquidity in the U.S. economy is creating risk for everyone. In China, Vice Foreign Minister Gui Tianke, okay, said many countries are worried about the impact of the policy on their economies. All right? All of this in advance of the G20. Fed Board Governor Kevin Warsh today conceded that further bond purchases risk distorting markets. All right? Fed Board Governor Kevin Warsh, he was one of the ones that voted in favor. The Fed's increased presence in the market for long-term Treasury securities poses non-trivial risks that bear watching, said Warsh, who voted for more stimulus last week in an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal. Quote, as the Fed's balance sheet expands, it becomes more of a price maker than a price taker. Risk premiums across asset classes could shift unexpectedly around the world. Then it goes on, inflation concerns, next best thing, so on and so forth. So we'll find out more about that after this break. We'll look at the tax cuts, Republican Party. It's all in the news today. Stay tuned.
Information? You found it. You found it. This is OracleBroadcasting.com.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Angels Don't Play This Harp is the definitive work on the harp system written by Dr. Nick Bagage. This book provides indispensable data on this exotic technology. The U.S. military is using the harp system to manipulate the electrojet, a river of electricity that flows thousands of miles through the sky. The electrojet has become a vibrating artificial antenna for sending electromagnetic radiation raining down on the earth. The powers controlling the harp system can use this technology to communicate globally. The harp controllers can manipulate the weather. It's believed harp can be used for particle beam weaponry, but most ominously, harp can electronically manipulate human behavior over great distances. You need to know what harp is because it's already being used on you. Angel, Don't Play This Harp is $18.95 postpaid. To receive your copy, send $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Again, that's $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have an incoming call on Skype. Let's go right to our phones and say good morning to our caller. Good morning, Skype caller. Dan, 9876-54321.
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
How you doing? I was just asking, how you doing? I was just asking, with this round of, quantitative easing that just recently passed, do you think that it's possible that they could have a couple more rounds of quantitative easing?
Absolutely. This is just, this is like QE2, but it's probably going to be, even if we go back and look at the FOMC meeting, the Federal Open Market Committee meeting, from their minutes, they were definitely looking at more. So this is going to be $600 billion this time. There will probably be $400 billion the next time, maybe $500 billion the next time. There's no way out for them. Once you start going into this particular tunnel, they're just going to have to keep throwing money at it. They're throwing out this dollar as if it was going to be some kind of a solution for the economy, but it's not going to be. So, yes, and there will be inflation that will have to come from this. I don't see any way out of that. But, no, this is not all of it. This is just another bailout. And this money is not going to go out onto the street. It's going into the bankers' pockets.
Yeah, I figured that a long time ago, but I just wanted to ask you about this, because it seems like with the way that there's just, say, a $600 billion or $900 billion, that, you know, they're just putting this money in the system, and it's just like, I don't know, it's just creating a fiasco, because the price of food and everything is already, like, exceptionally high already, so...
Well, it's likely to go quite a bit higher. One place that you can go is to the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc.'s website. You can also go to the Chicago Board of Trade and just watch as the commodities are climbing and climbing. You know, cotton is up, wheat is up, pork bellies are up, all of these various things that are that we're dependent upon for food and clothing. All of these are going up, and the unessential items like computers and things like that, they're either standing steady or going down.
All right, well, thank you for taking my call this morning.
Well, thanks for calling in. Call in anytime. Certainly appreciate hearing from you. So, yeah, this is, you know, this is basically where it's going, and he's exactly right. But on the morning where we reported the FOMC meeting as part of the Econo Day report, I believe that was last week, you know, they talked about more rounds of this QE. It's basically just... It would be one thing if they were printing it. They're not even bothering to print it. This is just a digital entry on their books, their balance sheet just expanding and expanding and expanding. As I said, you wouldn't be able to balance this one on a steak knife. So there's just more in here. Let's go back to this article just a little bit further. We might get some more understanding. Inflation concerns. E. Gerald Corrigan, the former Fed Bank of New York president, said at the Georgia conference, again, this is the Jekyll Island conference, we'll be talking about that a little bit further on in the broadcast, but he said at the Georgia conference that he's concerned the central bank's efforts risk causing price increases that are out of the Fed's control. Well, of course it would be out of control. The more money you loan into existence, the more money there is in circulation. I mean, that's textbook definition of inflation. That's what's going to happen. Even in the face of substantial margins of underutilization of human and capital resources. How do you like that? Human resources. You like to be a human resource this morning? Are you a little carbon resource, are you? Capital resources. Efforts to achieve an upward nudge in today's very low inflation rate make me somewhat uncomfortable. Corrigan, the chairman of Goldman's bank subsidiary, said in prepared remarks, the difference between yields on the 10-year notes and the Treasury inflation-protected securities, a gauge of trader expectations for consumer prices over the life of the securities, widened to 2.13 percentage points from this year's low of 1.47 points set in August. Now, this is a new one for me. Might be for you as well. It's one of the reasons why I study these articles. Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. Those would be the TIPS, right? TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Securities. That's one for me to look up, try and find out more about that. The next best thing, the Fed can't cut its benchmark interest rate any further after reducing it to a range of 0 to 0.25% in December. Hatzius wrote in his email, which he distributed yesterday in New York, 10-year yields have declined about 18 basis points, and we talk about that, the 10-year, the 2-year, the 10-year, and the 30-year treasuries every morning, all right, the yields. 10-year yields have declined about 18 basis points, that would be 0.18%. Since September the 20th, the day before Fed announced it was prepared to provide additional support to the economy, a basis point is blah, blah, blah. They are doing the next best thing, aiming to lower the bond term premium via purchases of longer-term securities. Well, you know, this is all this discussion. This is, I don't know how many of you listened to Michael Vail's broadcast last night. He did a really good one, had a great author on. The guy's name is very peculiar. Sounds like he might be East Indian. Let's see if I can get it here and take a look and see where I quickly find it. Should be right here in my notepad. If I can get it, I will get it and give it to you. The guy's name is Rava Batri, I think. Rava Batri. Rava Batri. Anyway, it was on Michael Vail's broadcast last night, The Vantage Point. But he was, you know, just really, he just basically laid it out in simple terms. You can obfuscate economics until the cows come home, you know, until you can't understand anything. That's basically what these articles do. But it all boils down to two things, supply and demand. These are the two pans in the economic balance scale. It's going to be supply and it's going to be demand. One of the two. Supply is productivity, demand is wages. You don't have any balance in those pans, you're not going to have a balanced economy. Things aren't going to be good. So they're just using a lot of words to get around to the same thing that Batra said so simply in a one-hour presentation. Tax cut extension for top earners shouldn't be temporary. Eric Cantor. Now, this word, this name, this man, Eric Cantor, needs to be up on your tote board, along with Boehner, all right? Boehner and Cantor are going to be the main names going forward in this new Republican House, to keep pay attention to it. Eric Cantor and the Jewish lobby got a lot of these Tea Partiers, teabaggers, elected. Representative Eric Cantor of Virginia, the House's number two Republican, said Congress should do more than approve just a short-term extension of current tax rates for top earners, as a battle looms in Congress over the expiration of tax cuts enacted under former President Jorge Bush. Cantor said failing to extend the reduction for the highest earners on the same terms as for other Americans would create uncertainty that would threaten economic recovery. Quote, I am not for decoupling the rates, Cantor said yesterday on Fox News. He's going to get a lot of FaceTime. He's going to get a lot of airtime. Eric Cantor is on his way up in the Republican Party. He's going to become more and more prominent. Right now, he's basically almost holding the same kind of a position that Rahm Emanuel held for Barry the Usurper. Right? He continues here, quote, I am not for raising taxes in a recession, especially when it comes to job creators. Job creators. See, at least Cantor understands the difference. Some people don't. All right? He understands. He knows that it's the entrepreneurs that are the real middle class. This has always been the target of the communists, to eliminate, to eradicate, to cripple, and to take out of positions all of the various and sundry entrepreneurs. They're the ones that create the jobs. No, no, middle class is not, you know, the workers. Nah, no, that's not. You're the workers, all right? You're wage slaves. The middle class are the people that own businesses and provide jobs. All right? They're a different class of people. They take far more risk in their life. There are different kind of people. They wake up in the morning and they're not going to a job. They're involved in an adventure, a quest, in enterprise. They're enterprisers, and they have been known that way for a long, long time. It's just that the obfuscatory linguistics of the logical positive syntacticians and our educators have convinced you that you're in the middle class when, woefully, if you denominate all of your productive energy in dollars per hour with taxes withheld, you're not an entrepreneur. You're not a middle-class person. Temporary extension. In the Senate, where Republicans will remain the minority in January, their leader, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, said his party is willing to consider a temporary extension of the current top tax rates. Quote, we're willing to start talking about an extension of some kind, McConnell said on CBS's Face the Nation yesterday. We don't think raising taxes on small business is a good idea. Well, there's other things that they don't think is a really good idea. We're going to cover some more of that in a moment. But let's go into this article. It's parallel. Republicans are poised to increase U.S. House gains in undecided contests so that the election's not over yet, even though, according to Bloomberg, if you look at it, you wouldn't even know that we just had an election. Republicans may increase their control of the U.S. House that will be installed in January by picking up seats among nine democratically held districts where the outcome yet remains in doubt. Just hundreds of votes separate the candidates in some of the undecided races, according to the Associated Press. Just the other evening, we hear that they, you know, came up with another bag of uncounted votes in the back closet of some one of these voting precincts, and they claim that that's just normal practice. We always do that in America. We set aside whole bags of voters. There's your ballot. It's in the closet. Now that they're digging it out of the closet, we'll see what happens. We'll be right back.
Coming soon to Portland, Oregon, a place that will revolutionize what independence from the grid is really all about. Introducing the latest installment to the Rose City. Welcome to the Portland Preparedness Center. From our wide selection of nitrogen-sealed buckets of food, grain mills, water filters, and storage containers, along with our specialized book selection on just about anything you might want to learn. Available online at PortlandPrepared.com. 503-252-2525. The Portland Preparedness Center.
If or when the dollar crashes, an alternate system of trade will be a necessity. FreeWorldMarket.com is your free market solution to the economic crisis. Barter with small businesses without using government money. Stretch your buying power in these hard financial times by saving up to 50% on great products and services. Keep money in your community and away from the big banks. Preserve your wealth from hyperinflation and even become a merchant and immediately begin increasing your sales. Visit FreeWorldMarket.com now.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So just a little bit more here from the news basket. We've got a lot of material sent to me over the weekend by our listeners. I'm going to go to some of those articles and set aside Bloomberg. However, we keep coming back across Bloomberg articles over and over again, even in the things that get sent to me and by the listeners. So just a bit more here from this one. Just hundreds of votes separate the candidates in some of the undecided races. According to the Associated Press, also the reelection of Representative Tim Bishop, a four-term Democrat, from New York's Long Island was thrown into doubt after a fresh count of the ballots, according to Republican challenger Randy Altshuler. I don't know about how many of you get the GOP emails in your basket. I do. I get the ones from the Democratic Party as well, but in my email box. But they're still trying to seek funds, fundraising. You know, I don't submit any money to them for anything, but they're still trying to get raised funds to conduct election return analysis. And so they're questioning some elections, whether they are really or not, that's to be determined. But Republicans gained at least 60 seats in the House in November the 2nd election, the biggest swing in the party's favor since 1938. You can't take that away from them. It's expected that the Republicans will hold on and pick up a total of 63 or 64 seats, though recounts can occasionally produce a surprise. And this is what they're trying to do, is to go through and ferret out all the surprises in the recounts. Republicans also picked up 6 seats in the Senate, trimming the Democrats' control 53 to 47. And apply those numbers in 100 in the House, in the Senate of 100, apply those numbers to super majorities and majority votes. You know, the difference of having a two-third vote as opposed to a straight majority. So there's going to be a little bit of difficulty for things to go through the Senate, and we're going to find that that's going to cause a real problem for Barry the Usurper going forward. Additional gains for Republicans in some of the undecided contests are to be expected, said Jennifer Duffy, political analyst at the Cook Political Report, a Washington-based publication that tracks political races. Given how historic Democrats' losses in the House were last week, nothing about this list is surprising, she said in an email. Now let's go to another one here and pick this one up, another Bloomberg article. Bank tax, CO2 auctions recommended by Soros panel to help climate efforts. All right. I'm talking about this climate change. I'm talking about the climate carbon credit exchanges. And it's going to be in the news for a few minutes of today's broadcast. This article off of Bloomberg, November 5th, Alex Morales writing, at least $65 billion might be raised by taxing foreign exchange transactions. Of course, we give you the foreign exchange rates every morning right here on the broadcast. Foreign exchange transactions and auctioning pollution permits. So they're still trying to raise money for their un-nations, the UN nations, the one nation. A United Nations panel said today in a report recommending ways to finance aid for fighting global warming. They're not going to give up. And they'll be taking it with them to Mexico, but we'll see what kind of a response, what kind of a welcome they get for man-made global warming or global, what do they call it? What is that guy Holder? What is his name? Disruption, global climate disruption, right, anyway. The panel, which includes billionaire investor George Soros and Larry Summers, you couldn't get any too weirder people than that. Director of Barry the Usurper's National Economic Council said selling carbon emissions permits would generate $38 billion and a financial transactions tax an additional $27 billion, according to the report released today. And what are they going to do with this money? All right, they're going to sustain development. They're going to sustain the environmental and developmental concerns, corporations like Vestas and GE and others, as they build all of Don Quixote's windmills and the Solari group or whatever it is over in Spain at their solar energy projects, all right? The findings are intended to guide envoys at the UN climate talks that start this month in Mexico as they seek ways to pay for $100 billion in climate aid. Climate aid, taking it from your pocket, giving it to somebody else, that was pledged by 2020 to poor nations at last year's summit in Copenhagen. The report found that the goal is challenging but feasible to achieve. All right. Without agreement on finance, we will not be able to reach agreement on other issues for climate change. So what is absolutely needed right now is a withdrawal of support financially, unless we're going to go down this goat rope and continue to tilt at Don Quixote's windmills. Now we need the political will to take the decision. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon appointed the panel called the High Level Advisory Group on Climate Change Financing in February. It's led by Stoltenberg and Ethiopian Prime Minister Meles Zenawi. The 21-member group also includes Soros, Summers, Deutsche Bank AG, Vice Chairman Kjell Koch, Weiser, and others. The report didn't specify what financial transactions would be covered by the tax beyond saying the focus would be on international currency sales. And so we have currency wars going on between the finance ministers going into G20 this month. Then we're going to be down in Mexico, and they're going to be talking about putting taxes on international currency sales. Well, it's really going. Continuing, the ball is really now in the court of governments to move forward on generating these resources. David Waskow, senior advisor on climate finance for the development charity Oxfam International, said in a telephone interview. Right? One can raise substantial public finance from public sources and do it in a way that's not going to place additional pressure on national budgets and taxpayers. If you believe that, you're more gullible than I think you are. All right, here's a little bit more. Let's jump on this one. We're going to come back to this We'll come back to ClimateGate in a moment. Korea won in the rupee to gain the most from the Fed plan, Society General says, November the 7th. All right. This is an article submitted by Chris, one of our frequent off-times chatters in the chat room and a regular listener to the broadcast. November 8th, Bloomberg. Currencies of South Korea and India will benefit the most as the Federal Reserve's additional stimulus spurs demands for stocks in countries with higher yields. All right? So Bernanke's in there and he's creating trillions, all right? Hundreds of billions, $600 billion. Let's just print up another $600 billion. You think it's going to help you? Going to help the people in Poughkeepsie or Exeter? No. No. Who's going to be helped? South Korea and India benefit the most as the Federal Reserve's additional stimulus spurs demands for stocks in countries with higher yields. Why are they taking offshore in the money? Because they got a 0.25 lending rate overnight. You know, with interest rates like 0.38% on a U.S. Treasury, who's going to invest in the U.S.? Nobody. The won will advance 15.5% to 951 per dollar, and the rupee will climb 7% to 43 rupee to dollar by November the 2011, based on non-deliverable forward prices. Cliff Ton, the managing director and the head of Societe Generale's foreign exchange research, said in an interview late last week. Right? It's not doing any good for the United States of America. It's doing great for foreign countries. One of the key asset price effects of a second round of quantitative easing is going to be in the equity markets, Hong Kong-based Ton said. In this region, I think that most prominently features Korea and India, and they're having the G20 meeting in Seoul, and Barry the Usurper was just visiting in India. 12-month non-deliverable forwards on the won, blah, blah, blah. The won and the rupee have appreciated 4.4% and 5% respectively this year. As overseas investors poured a combined $42 billion into the stocks of the two nations, benchmark interest rates of 2.25%. They got a 2.25% benchmark rate in South Korea. We got 0.25% here. And 5.25% in India give investors a yield advantage over the U.S. where policy rates are close to zero. Does this make sense to you? Ton forecasts that strong equity flows into the two Asian nations will add pressure on policymakers to raise interest rates to contain rising prices. Inflation in South Korea reached a 20-month high of 4.1% in October, you know, and Bernanke's calling for more inflation in the United States. Trying to catch up here, maybe. Indian Finance Minister Pranab Mukherjee said October 26th, the pace of price gains is still double the ideal level. They're going to need to take out some insurance by hiking interest rates to prevent that from getting out of hand, Ton said. I think that all that will support the currencies. Well, that's where our money's going. That's where your debt's going. It's going to India. Take a look. Obama fires back after China slates Fed's QE2. Well, this is another article submitted by listeners. We'll look at that right after the top of the hour break. Stay tuned. A lot more to come in hour number two. We're going to go to visit with Jekyll Island in a moment.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The home of cutting-edge talk radio. Online, worldwide, at OracleBroadcasting.com.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, November the 8th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Beginning our second hour of today's two-hour broadcast, we come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, a large string of news in the news this morning, lots of stuff, trying to blend together some of the material found on the Bloomberg website with information submitted by the listeners over the weekend. Very interesting articles this morning. I had a bevy, as they say, of new articles coming in, but we're going to go into these in a little greater detail in the second hour, and then we're going to try and open up a little bit of what went down at Jekyll Island as well. And in the last segment, we may get back to Carol Quigley's Evolution of Civilizations. But this is an article that was submitted by one of our listeners, Chris, from the chat rooms. And this starts this way. Take a look. Obama fires back after China slates Fed's QE2. I'm going to try and drop this article into the chat room if I can do so. In a moment here, I'll have to open some other windows and get it there. But it's rather interesting. This is an article, Monday, November the 8th. U.S. President, and I don't call him that, Barry the Usurper, defended the Federal Reserve's policy of printing dollars during a trip to India after Chinese officials stepped up criticism ahead of this week's Group of 20 meeting. The G20 summit has been pitched as a chance for leaders of the countries that account for 85% of world output to prevent quote-unquote currency wars. And we've been hearing a lot about this currency wars thing. This is a meme. It's a word. It's a grouping of words. It's a symbol, a word symbol in a language game that has been floated, all right? And so everyone now is paying attention to currency wars. From spreading to become a rush to protectionism that could imperil the global recovery. What global recovery? Could imperil the global recovery. And I will put this article into the chat room. But what this is a long list of Reuters and other articles that you can click on to get more information about what's going down. Top stories. I'm just going to give you the headlines. Obama fires back after China slates Fed's QE2. Russia wants Fed to consult G20 on big moves. China ratchets up pressure after U.S. Fed move. Geithner, Beijing support of G20 rebalancing. Bank of Japan, Yamaguchi hints at further easing. G20 finds company. You see where we're going? The global finance ministers are not happy. They're not happy. And so one would almost have to wonder whether or not the Federal Reserve Board is being provocative with this QE2. Are they provoking financial upheaval? Are they provoking? Or are they just simply acting on directives from above? Is this a Paul Volcker move? Is this a George Soros move? Is this a Rothschild move? Or is this coming out of the Green Pope? Hard to say. But I will open up a browser and try and drop that article in. Let's go to this one. Bank of America may pay bonuses in stock as deadline looms on capital gap. The Bank of AmeriCorps is running out of time to fulfill a promise to raise more capital by year end and may be forced to make up the shortfall by paying some bonuses in stock rather than cash. I mean, so we're looking at Bank of America. They're really, you know, in trouble here. They're really in trouble here on this foreclosure deal. And they've made promises about repaying TARP money, Troubled Asset Relief Program money. They've made deals. The sum, originally $4 billion, was later reset to $3 billion, and the deadline was extended to December 31st. They're having harder and harder time coming up with the money they need to to repay their extension under TARP. So they're looking at bonuses and pay raises and things like that as a place to find the money. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Angels Don't Play This Harp is the definitive work on the harp system written by Dr. Nick Bagage. This book provides indispensable data on this exotic technology. The U.S. military is using the harp system to manipulate the electrojet, a river of electricity that flows thousands of miles through the sky. The electrojet has become a vibrating artificial antenna for sending electromagnetic radiation raining down on the earth. The powers controlling the harp system can use this technology to communicate globally. The harp controllers can manipulate the weather. It's believed harp can be used for particle beam weaponry, but most ominously, harp can electronically manipulate human behavior over great distances. You need to know what harp is because it's already being used on you. Angel, Don't Play This Harp is $18.95 postpaid. To receive your copy, send $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Again, that's $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So we can see that Bank of America is having a little bit of trouble coming up with the money necessary to escape their troubled asset relief program bailout here. The gap of about $1.1 billion at Bank of America, the largest U.S. lender by assets, stems from its accord last December to repay $45 billion of federal bailout funds and escape the troubled asset relief program. As part of the deal, the bank agreed to sign contracts by June the 30th for asset sales that would raise capital. The sum originally, 54 excuse me, the sum originally, $4 billion, was later reset at $3 billion and the deadline extended to December the 31st. Get the idea? With 2 months left, the Charlotte, North Carolina-based company said in November 5th quarterly report the bank must raise a commensurate amount of common equity if asset sales don't bring in the necessary funds. Bank of America raised $1.9 billion so far to meet the commitment, and the gap may be closed by issuing stock to some of its approximately 284,000 employees, according to the filing. So here they are scrambling for money, trying to come up with some cash, and they're up to their neck in these foreclosures and unable to, you know, raise any money. They're going to meet their commitment, and if they have to, they'll do it through their employees, said Mark Borges, a compensation consultant at Compensia, Inc. in Corte Madera, California. Given the size of the compensation pool, they may be able to meet the entire requirement by selling stock to insiders rather than to outsiders. Well, rather interesting article, very revealing. Record treasury buying by banks frustrates the Bernanke, all right, Bloomberg Business Week. Another one of these many articles sent to me over the weekend by the listeners, November the 8th, Daniel Kruger. Brian Williams burned through $12,000 on rent for a vacant storefront in the historic district of St. Louis, where he planned to open a pizzeria after banks refused him a $35,000 loan. So he gave billions and billions of dollars to the bankers, and these poor guys trying to make a living out there and provide employment for others. These entrepreneurs out there can't raise a $35,000 loan, forcing him to delay opening by a year. There were a lot of times when I thought I was going to pack it in, Williams, who's 53 years old, said in an interview, eventually turned to friends and smaller loans from government agencies and a microcredit lender for the money. Rather than providing money to businesses and consumers, U.S. commercial banks are increasingly using the cash available at interest rates set by the Federal Reserve that are next to zero and lending it back to the government. Since June, the biggest banks bought about $127 billion of treasuries, compared with $47 billion in the first half. I have to say that the big companies are buying their own stocks, too. You think that the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 9 on Friday at 11,444 because Ma and Pa America's out there buying stocks? I don't think so. I think GE's buying their own stocks. I think the whole market's rigged. Rather than providing, again, money to the consumers and businesses, the U.S. commercial banks are increasingly using the cash available at interest rates set by the Fed that are next to zero and lending it back to the government. It's a revolving door. It's a circular argument. Since June, the biggest banks bought about $127 billion of treasuries compared with $47 billion in the first half. According to the central bank, commercial and industrial loans outstanding have fallen by about $68.5 billion this year. While the Fed and Chairman Benjamin Shalom Bernanke said last week they will pump $600 billion more into the financial system through so-called quantitative easing to aid the economy and boost the flow of credit, a growing number of bond investors and strategists say the allure of government debt may only get stronger. New global banking rules will force lenders to hold a greater percentage of capital if they want to invest in riskier securities and make new loans. And it goes on and talks about Basel III. The Basel III regulations set by the Bank for International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland, may trim economic growth and result in $400 billion of additional treasury purchases by U.S. commercial banks by 2015. A committee of bond dealers and investors that advises Secretary Treasurer Timmy Geithner in a November 2nd report. Financial institutions are less willing to take risk ahead of these new regulations than they might be otherwise. One of the reasons to do quantitative easing is to make it less appealing to hold treasuries. You'd expect this to be an environment where they might actually want to take on a little bit more risk, but so far, they're not. Right? Whole bunch of stuff going down here. We're witnessing a financial, you know, an epic financial meltdown in process, right now, in progress. G20 finds common ground opposing the U.S. This is an article by Reuters. Emily Kaiser writing for Reuters, Washington. The G20 is beginning to look more like the G19 plus one. Right, taking sides. As emerging and rich countries alike accuse the United States of breaking a vow of unity, this week's G20 summit will require every bit of Barry the Usurper's diplomacy skills after the Federal Reserve embarked on a new $600 billion bond buying spree, sparking criticism from four continents that the U.S. Central Bank was ignoring the global repercussions. Officials from Germany, Brazil, China, this is very similar to the article we read earlier, officials from Germany, Brazil, China. You know, this is the BRIC nations plus Germany and Africa were among those expressing concern the Fed's money printing could weaken the dollar, drive up commodity prices, and send uncontrollable waves of investor cash into emerging markets. They're driving U.S. dollars overseas. Domestic politics and policies make Obama's job tougher. He arrives in Seoul for the November 11th through the 12th summit. You know, it's interesting, starting on Veterans Day, isn't it? November 11, 11, 11. Oh, my. Well, 11, 11, 11. Don't forget that either. SPDR Gold shares, the spider on the corner of the web. Their expiration date, 11, 11 of 11. For a graphic, blah, blah, blah. South African finance minister Pravin Gordhan said the Fed's move undermines the spirit of multilateral cooperation the G20 leaders have fought so far hard to maintain during the current crisis. Well, that article continues and goes on and on. Here's another one. This is a rather unique and unusual article. I'm so glad to have received it. I'm going to bookmark this one, probably print it out. Not a very long article, but it's very revealing. By John O'Sullivan, Carbon Trade Ends on Quiet Death of Chicago Climate Exchange. I have been reporting every morning, you know, for some months now, that one of these days we're going to have the Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, the S&P, and the Chicago Climate Exchange, but perhaps not. This is rather interesting. If there's truth to this, this could be the best news of the month. Republican midterm election joy deals financial uncertainty among green investors as the Chicago Climate Exchange announces the end of U.S. carbon trading. You heard it right and heard it here. The Chicago Climate Exchange, the CCX, announced on October the 21st. I didn't see this in Bloomberg, did you? I didn't report on this. Why not? Why wasn't this in the news? The Chicago Climate Exchange, the CCX, announced on October the 21st of 2010 that it will cease carbon trading this year. However, Steve Malloy, or Milloy, reporting on pajamasmedia.com, finds this huge story strangely unreported by the mainstream media. I find it hugely unreported myself. I'm glad I got a copy of it to talk about this morning. To some key analysts, the collapse of the CCX appears to show that international carbon trading is dying a quiet death. So much for Don Quixote's windmills and the solar insanity. We'll pick that up right there, right after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned.
Wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627. At the prompt, press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Coming soon to Portland, Oregon, a place that will revolutionize what independence from the grid is really all about. Introducing the latest installments of the Rose City. Welcome to the Portland Preparedness Center. From our wide selection of nitrogen-sealed buckets of food, grain mills, water filters, and storage containers, along with our specialized book selection on just about anything you might want to learn. Available online at portlandprepared.com, 503-252-2525. The Portland Preparedness Center.
If or when the dollar crashes, an alternate system of trade will be a necessity. FreeWorldMarket.com is your free market solution to the economic crisis. Barter with small businesses without using government money. Stretch your buying power in these hard financial times by saving up to 50% on great products and services. Keep money in your community and away from the big banks. Preserve your wealth from hyperinflation and even become a merchant and immediately begin increasing your sales. Visit FreeWorldMarket.com now.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendivite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendivite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
So we'll just have to take this article at face value until we can confirm it, but this is off of www.suite101.com. Suite, S-U-I-T-E, like suite of rooms or suite of furniture. Suite101.com, /content, /, and then it's just carbon trade ends on quiet death, blah, blah, blah. You can just browse it up and find it for yourself. It's a November the 7th. John O'Sullivan article, Carbon Trade Ends on Quiet Death of Chicago Climate Exchange. I was unable to get it to drop into the chat room for some particular reason. But anyway, back into the discussion. Not until November the 2nd, 2010, had the story even been picked up briefly, and that by ChicagoBusiness.com. All right, so you might be able to find it there, too. ChicagoBusiness.com. Cranes, C-R-A-I-N apostrophe S. Is the reporter. Reporter Paul Marion, Paul M-E-R-R-I-O-N, appeared to find some comfort that while the CCX will cease all trading of new emission allowances at the end of the year, quote, it will continue trading carbon offsets generated by projects that consume greenhouse gases, such as planting trees. Oh, boy. The Global Arbor Day Foundation or whatever they are, you know, they can plant trees. You know, plant your trees. Collapses personal setback for U.S. president. Barry the Usurper was a board member of the Joyce Foundation that funded the fledgling CCX. Professor Richard Sandor of Northwestern University had started the business with $1.1 million in grants from the Chicago-based left-wing Joyce Foundation, enthusiastically endorsed by the Usurper. When founded in November of 2000, CCX's carbon trading market was predicted to grow anywhere between $500 billion and $10 trillion. Fortunately, before its collapse, Sander was able to net $98.5 million for his 16.5% stake when CCX was sold. Well, where did it get sold to? Well, let's find out. Failure of the European climate market may follow, Malloy writes. All right. Quote, although the trading in carbon emissions credit was voluntary, the CCX was intended to be the hub of the mandatory carbon trading established by a cap-and-trade law. Trading carbon was, quote, the only purpose for which it was founded, close quote. But with their resurgence after the midterms, the Republicans have now put a new cohort of global warming skeptics into the corridors of power. Unlike the American voluntary scheme, the European cousin of the CCX, the European Climate Exchange, the ECX. All right, so that's still on the deck. The ECX continues to trade due to the mandatory carbon caps of the Kyoto Protocol. Well, love them or hate them, Bush kept us out of the Kyoto Protocol, and, you know, more power to him for it. Continuing, but the future of the ECX, but the future of the ECX will be in doubt unless a new climate treaty to replace the Kyoto Protocol is introduced. All right? That's important. If they pull up another one of these Kyoto Protocols in Mexico this month, it may be right back on the table again. That treaty expires in 2012, but the ineffectual Copenhagen Climate Conference of 2009 exposed an inability among international politicians to agree on climate change. If this stalemate persists, then the European ECX may likely suffer the same fate as the Chicago CCX. Or will we be out from underneath this burden? Will Bunky Moon, you know, get mooned by the economists? More job losses in the green trading sector. Oh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Admitting that there will be deep staff cuts, Chief Financial Officer, here we go, now we're into the ice, Chief Financial Officer Scott Hill of Atlanta-based Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., further conceded. Now remember, Inc., the U.S. dollar index, is a product of the ICE, of ICE, the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., which is why I remind you every day to visit the website and become familiar with the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc. The USDX is their trade-weighted basket of currencies. You can read all about it on theice.com. Anyway, Chief Financial Officer Scott Hill of Atlanta-based Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., further conceded, quote, we had about 66 people when we bought the company, CCX. This is how the other chump got his millions. I think we'll be closer to 25 by the end of the year. And then we'll reduce further into the first quarter. So they're going to go down to the hat check girl and the Senate, you know, and the secretary. That's going to be it. ICE had bought Climate Exchange PLC, which operated CCX, the European Climate Exchange, and the Chicago Climate Futures Exchange in April of 2010 for around $634.5 million. They tied them all up, folks. The Intercontinental Exchange, Inc. bought them up. All three of them bought the Climate Exchange PLC, which operated the CCX, the European Climate Exchange, and the Chicago Climate Futures Exchange. All right? Maybe somebody needs to do an investigation into just who is the Intercontinental Exchange, Inc., that has a stranglehold on this USDX, this specious trade-weighted basket of currencies, which seems to influence all of the foreign exchange rates in the world every day, throughout the day. Images? U.S. corporations and investors in retreat. Speaking to the New York Times in March of 2010, Crystal Dorian, a developer with 10 years of experience putting together offset projects under the United Nations Clean Development Mechanism, the CDM, foresaw that investors were quickly shifting their focus elsewhere. Saw the writing on the walls. Maybe they listened to this broadcast and found out what sustainable development really means. Since its launch in 2003, the CCX succeeded in attracting major players such as Ford, Bank of America, in the news again, IBM, and Intel. By signing up as voluntary contributors, you know, it's all voluntary compliance, right? By signing up as voluntary contributors, these corporations have been making voluntary but legally binding commitments to meet greenhouse gas emission reduction targets. So whether they're in, they're out, now they're in. Their hands are tied. They've made legally, not lawful, but legally binding commitments to meet greenhouse gas emission reductions. Right? And by cutting emissions or by buying emission permits sold by the other CCX members. But Dorian warned, quote, the ones that are pulling out are the American-based companies. It's like a bunch of Pinocchios, man. Their nose just keeps growing, right? They make all these commitments and then they renege. The Republican election triumph is likely to push climate legislation even further off the political agenda. Nonetheless, California outlined its plans for its own cap-and-trade scheme with the ambition of a joint trading agreement by 2012 among members of the Western Climate Initiative. God, leave it up to California. Born on stupid, and now stupid on steroids. References? Malloy asks, okay, if Al Gore's Chicago claim exchange suffers total failure, does the MSM make a sound? Another article out there. And there's more. Well, there is that. Let's go over here. Start this one out. Thank you to Vicki Davis, channelingreality.com, for making us aware of this and sending the information. I was thinking about this morning. I was wondering, I just wonder, are there transcripts available to the meeting at Jekyll Island? Well, there certainly is. And so nice to have it. The Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, this is their website, the FRBAtlanta.org, news, conferences, 10 Jekyll agenda. Just type it into the browser and look it up for yourself. All right. A return to Jekyll Island, the origins, history, and future of the Federal Reserve will be on the browser right after these words from our sponsors.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network. TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So we'll spend a few minutes here and go through this return to Jekyll Island, the origins, the history, and the future of the Federal Reserve. You know, I like the way this article starts. It's kind of the way I like to write my stuff. It harkens back to Adam Smith, The Wealth of Nations, the title, the real title, the full title of his book. And there's been many like that, you know, but the idea of the origins, the history, and the future of the Federal Reserve gives you a good idea of where things are going here. Return to Jekyll Island. Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta and Rutgers University, November 5th and 6th, 2010, Jekyll Island Club Hotel, Jekyll Island, Georgia. Their agenda, right? I'm going to go through the ideas here, give an idea of what it was like. You know, if you weren't there, you'd like to be a fly on the wall. Well, this is some of the things that were going down. They started off at 7:30 a.m. with the Continental Breakfast. Continental. It was because of the continental nature of our country that Thomas Paine warned against any consideration of a democracy. Instead, we needed to be a republic, all right? We would never be able to be a democracy in this country. We're far too vast. Because of the continental nature, they established a republic, not a democracy. At 8:15, they did a welcoming and opening remark. Dennis Lockhart, President and CEO, Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. Session 1 at 8:30. Monetary and financial systems of the national banking era. Can you imagine? Can you just smell the room? There's the coffee. There's all of the really high-dollar perfumes, you know, in the room. All of the white linens. All of the silver plate. All of the crystal on the tables, you know. The waiters walking around quietly, putting out croissants, you know. Monetary and financial systems of the national banking era. They go in and they're going to lay out. And these are all PDFs that you can get and read for yourself. To establish a more effective supervision of banking, how the birth of the Fed altered bank supervision. Their opening paper, session one. The session will focus on how the founding of the Federal Reserve banking system affected bank supervision practices prevalent during the national banking era. The national banking era. The paper presenter was Eugene White, professor of economics at Rutgers University. You can see the interlocking interdependentness between this Federal Reserve banking system and academia. And the law, by the way, the Bar Association and the International Bar Association. The British Accreditation Registry. Paper presented by Eugene White, professor of economics at Rutgers, and then he did his presentation, and then the discussion, or the discussant, Warren Weber, the senior research officer, Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, and he does the presentation. The moderator is Charles Prosser, the president of Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. It must have been quite an interesting presentation. It lasted from until 9:45. Session 2, the passage of the Federal Reserve Act. You see how the criminals like to revisit the scene of the crime over and over again. The promise and the performance of the Federal Reserve as lender of last resort, 1914 to 1933. Here's a PDF file for all of you that want to bone up on the history and this right out of their mouths. It would be interesting to compare this research and this presentation with the research done by G. Edward Griffin and others. This session examines the origin and the early performance of the Federal Reserve as lender of last resort. The paper traces the Fed's failure to act as an effectual lender of last resort during the Great Depression, to defects of the Federal Reserve Act and more broadly of the U.S. banking system. The authors consider lessons about the design of lender of last resort policies that might be drawn from the Fed's early history. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being at the upper echelons of the Fed knowledge stream and listen to some person from academia, this person, Michael D. Bordo, professor of economics at Rutgers, making this presentation? Could you imagine them twittering up their linen sleeves as he spouts the agenda, perhaps? Maybe he was speaking truth to power. Maybe he was just giving the party line, reinforcing the dream. They take a break, chow down a bit. 11 o'clock, session 3. Everybody's back with their noses packed full of cocaine, ready for another hour. The founding of the Fed from an international perspective, from an international, you might say global perspective, you might say internationalist perspective, from the perspective of the international Jew, perhaps. Where it all began, lending of last resort and the making of sterling as the leading international currency in the 1860s. The making of sterling, British sterling, the pound sterling, right? This session will use archival material from the Bank of England to evaluate the actual performance of the London market in acceptance and to what extent the market resembled the descriptions that were available to the founders of the Federal Reserve. The focus will be on Overend Gurney crisis of 1866 and the Bank of England's responses to the crisis. And all these papers here, you can just get them in a PDF and read them for yourself. Here's a little bit more. They have lunch at 12:15 until 1:30. I'll bet it was a good lunch. From the passage of Session 4, from the passage of the Act of 1913 until the Treasury Accord in 1951. I didn't know about the Treasury Accord in 1951. The passage of the Act in 1913, the Act. The greatest act of treason ever committed against this country. Volatile times and persistent conceptual errors. Volatile times and persistent conceptual errors. U.S. monetary policy. 1914 to 1951. And then it continues. Session 5, the Accord from 1951 until the end of monetary targeting in 1982. The end of monetary targeting. That's an all-new word for me. How about you? The Fed from the Treasury, Fed Accord 1951 until the end of monetary targeting in 1982. This session will make use of Federal Open Market Committee documents. This is the FOMC. And other aspects of the historical record to evaluate alternative explanations for the increases in inflation experienced in the 1960s and the 1970s. Don't you wish you could have been at this meeting? Probably would have been fascinating. Robert King is the presenter of that paper, professor of economics at Boston University. The discussant was Bennett McCollum, professor of economics at Carnegie Mellon University. The moderator was James Bullard, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. And they take another break. You know, always have to have their breaks, potty breaks, powder the nose with Colombian cocaine, and right back into the room they come. Monetary policy, 1982 to the present. This paper will review and assess the evolution of perspectives on monetary policy since 1982. The presenter was a professor of finance at Northwestern University. The discussant was a professor of economics at New York University. Moderator was from Jeffrey Lacker from the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond. You can't separate academia from this bunch, folks. It's interlocked, interoperable at the top. You go back and look at the foundations, the power and the interest, influenced by Rene Wurmser. Read that book one time through again. And look at the Ford Foundation and all the others. They're involved in all this. The role of research and monetary policy deliberations. This is Saturday, early morning, 8 o'clock. Welcome back, blah, blah, blah. Policy debates at the FOMC, 1993 to 2002. The session will present a first-hand account of how the FOMC dealt with important policy issues from 93 to 2002, identifying occasions when advances in academic economics made practical contributions to the FOMC policy discussions. Academia, Lawrence Summers, and others. Okay, and it continues and it continues. So just, you can read the rest of it for yourself. I'm going to jump over here and take a look at this paper. And this is one of the PDFs. This is a 33-pager. Funny, isn't it? 33 pages. Well, two models of land overvaluation and their implications. Land overvaluation and their implications by Narayana of Coker Lakota. Oh, brother. Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, morning to AM 1710, Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. This is a Coker Lakota. Maybe she's a tribal leader. I don't know. Could be. Could be. But anyway, the introduction, I'm just going to share with you a little bit, as time allows, right out of this paper, 33 pages. From early 1996 through mid-2006, the price of residential land, henceforth land, nearly tripled in the United States. And they're going to tell us why. I didn't get a chance to read all of this this morning, but it's an interesting read. But here we are talking this morning about the Bank of America and this cloud, this break, this in the chain of title caused by these foreclosure frauds. And now here at this Jekyll Island, they're talking about the price of residential land. They're looking at land going forward. You know, it's always been the long-held desire of the communists, the abolition of private property. But as we know here on this broadcast, that even includes you. Well, we'll find out more about it right after this. Stay tuned.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Angels Don't Play This Harp is the definitive work on the harp system written by Dr. Nick Bagage. This book provides indispensable data on this exotic technology. The U.S. military is using the harp system to manipulate the electrojet, a river of electricity that flows thousands of miles through the sky. The electrojet has become a vibrating artificial antenna for sending electromagnetic radiation raining down on the earth. The powers controlling the harp system can use this technology to communicate globally. The harp controllers can manipulate the weather. It's believed harp can be used for particle beam weaponry, but most ominously, harp can electronically manipulate human behavior over great distances. You need to know what harp is because it's already being used on you. Angel, Don't Play This Harp is $18.95 postpaid. To receive your copy, send $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Again, that's $18.95 to Christian Media, Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny smashing cutting edge talk radio.
So I want to reemphasize the introduction again to this paper going forward, looking forward out of the meeting of the bankers at Jekyll Island over the weekend here this past few days. From early 1996 again through mid-2006, the price of residential land, henceforward land, nearly tripled in the United States. It has since fallen by over 60%. I just got my tax, real estate tax, my tithe, my tithy, to the state of Missouri and the county I dwell within. and they're going to rake me over the coals again, but I didn't notice a 60% decline in my property taxes this year, did you? As of fourth quarter of 2009, the price of land is not even 10% above its price in 2000. These observations suggest to me, as they have to others, that in the mid-2000s, the price of land was overvalued. Overvalued. That means that from 2000 forward, you have been raped by your tax assessors. They jacked up the valuation of property into the exponential level and taxed you accordingly, raking in the money for all of the green agenda while leaving you penniless as paupers, as rentiers without any rent at the end of the year for profit, just paying all taxes. These observations, again, suggest to me, as they have to others, that in the mid-2000s, the price of land was overvalued. In this paper, I construct two distinct models of this overvaluation. In the first, the land overvaluation is due to government guarantees of bank debt. I examine the implication of this model for the regulation of banks and other financial institutions. In the second, the land overvaluation is due to an asset price bubble. I examine the implications of this model for fiscal policy. And all of those mortgages that were taken out on this overvalued land are now imploding. But boy, did they rake in the money. And every realtor and every loan officer and every lending agency and every title insurance company, they've all gotten their rake. They're not in the news. But they've all made their extraordinary profits in this time period. Now perhaps they're in Aruba or someplace else. Maybe they've moved over to Abu Dhabi. In the remainder of the introduction, I briefly lay out the arguments and conclusions described with greater detail and more technically in the two parts of the paper that follow. The first part of the paper constructs a simple model in which bank creditors, that would be the depositors and debt holders, receive implicit and explicit guarantees from the bank. It's so nice to read a paper on the air that was intended to be read out loud to an audience such as this. The key to the model is that the markets for land, mortgage origination, and bank debt are all competitive. See, after they write a paper like this, then they get the videos out in the conference room and they practice their posturing and their hand gestures and all of the rest of the neurolinguistic programming that runs with public addresses at the academic level. The key to the model is that the markets for land, mortgage origination, and bank debts are all competitive. This assumption applies that the benefits from debt guarantees end up flowing to the owners of scarce factors in the economy. In the model, the only such scarce factor is land. And so the government guarantees impact the economy by increasing the value of land. I'll say it again. In this model, the only scarce factor is land. Land. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. John Locke said life, liberty, and property. Land. The mining rights, title rights, and interest to your mining claims. That's how Anthony brings out and exposes for us. To public view, behind the woodshed, opening a can of whoop-ass on Sunday afternoons. I do hope you tune in and listen to all of what Hal Anthony has learned in these past years. Shares it with you for free right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. I demonstrate that these guarantees can lead land to be overvalued. And overvalued it is. All across the Ozarks, this rocky, barren, scrub oak land, some of it not even fit for pasture, some of it so steep and hilly in the Ozarks country that it's fit for nothing else than just giving you shin splints and tiring you out as you cut up the firewood and pack it down to the cabin. This land has gone from just dollars an acre to thousands of dollars an acre. Overvaluation of the land. There's no amount of productive work a man could do on this stony ground that would ever justify that kind of a price if you were to do a price to earnings ratio on it. I demonstrate again that these guarantees can lead to land to be overvalued. It is generally believed that the benefits of debt guarantees accrue to bank equity holders. However, They only do so if their bank enjoys market power in the mortgage origination process. That's the key. The rents from government guarantees flow to the owners of scarce factors in the economy. In my model, the only scarce factor is land. As Will Rogers said, buy land. They make it no more of the stuff. And that's what most people remember, but he concluded this way, and buy your land in the path of progress and let progress run right over the top of you. You want to make money in land, buy your land in the path of progress. As they say in real estate, it's location, location, and location. Interestingly, this overvaluation occurs even if bank debt holders are the only people in the economy who are actually aware of the guarantees. All other actors, don't you like that, actors and stakeholders, all other actors, they're talking to themselves here, this is an inside memo, including bank equity holders, simply respond to natural competitive pressures. Thus, landowners may have, by this time they're all asleep, or they're just, you know, buzzing, man. They've got so much cocaine in their veins, you know, just tapping their toes, you know, sipping the coffee quickly, looking around for the girls. Thus, landowners may have no idea why their buyers are willing to pay so much. Indeed, the buyers themselves have no idea why they are paying so much. Why would anybody pay $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 an acre for scrub oak hill land? Nothing but rocks. Make a mule run lame. Indeed, the buyers themselves have no idea why they're paying so much. All they know is that the banks are offering low mortgage rates. Free money! In line. The banks are willing to offer these low mortgage rates because they're able to borrow at a low rate from the debtors who believe themselves to be insured against loss. I mean, we interface with this system, folks, at our own peril. At our own peril. I mean, have you had enough yet? Mad as hell? Ain't going to take it anymore? Are we going to end the Fed or not? Why did these people have the opportunity to come and visit at Jekyll Island and leave unmolested? Why weren't they just rounded up right? Where's our FBI? Why weren't they just rounded up right there where it was so convenient? And taken out in you know, handcuffs. I know why. Until such time that there's political will in Congress to do such a thing, they'll never do it. All they know is that the banks are offering low mortgage rates. The banks are willing to offer these low mortgage rates because they are able to borrow at a low rate from debtors, that would be you and I, who believe themselves to be insured against loss, you know, FDIC and all that stuff. I show that regulations like capital requirements and leverage restrictions can eliminate this overvaluation. However, to be effective, bank regulation must react to shifts in the probability distribution of future land values. In particular, a given capital requirement or leverage cap might successfully eliminate all pricing distortions associated with debt guarantees for a given probability distribution of future land values. You've got to understand and know for sure that in China this morning, in Seoul, Korea, ahead of this G20, in Germany, in England, all around the world, people are reading these articles. And they're dissecting them. You think they dissect the FOMC? They're dissecting this material today. And they're making investment decisions based upon this material today. Maybe it's time to reevaluate your portfolio and make the necessary adjustments quickly. Be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening this morning. And until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Ever wish that you could listen to Oracle Broadcasting away from your computer? Now you can with Oracle Broadcasting's new Listen by Phone feature. This free service turns any phone into an Oracle Broadcasting receiver. Simply call 704-772-7627 at the prompt.
press the Oracle station code 10007. That's 704-772-7627, then 10007. Normal long distance and cell phone rates apply. Stay connected with OracleBroadcasting.com.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live, now available in the iTunes App Store.
Coming soon to Portland, Oregon, a place that will revolutionize what independence from the grid is really all about. Introducing the latest installment to the Rose City. Welcome to the Portland Preparedness Center. From our wide selection of nitrogen-sealed buckets of food, grain mills, water filters, and storage containers, along with our specialized book selection on just about anything you might want to learn. Available online at portlandprepared.com, 503-252-2525. The Portland Preparedness Center.
If or when the dollar crashes, an alternate system of trade will be a necessity. FreeWorldMarket.com is your free market solution to the economic crisis. Barter with small businesses without using government money. Stretch your buying power in these hard financial times by saving up to 50% on great products and services. Keep money in your community and away from the big banks. Preserve your wealth from hyperinflation and even become a merchant and immediately begin increasing your sales. Visit FreeWorldMarket.com now.
You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.